Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. It's time to grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back so we can chat about what is happening up in the stars above. But let's talk about what's happening on planet Earth right now. Holy cow, I think Punxsutawney Phil needs a West Coast partner so that the prediction of weather, how quickly spring is coming or not, is more accurate. What do you think? Or maybe it's just us, right? That we expect just because he sees a shadow or doesn't see his shadow that it truly impacts our weather. But this morning here in Washington and all week long in California, feet of snow have been falling. It is amazing to me. Something like 12 feet of snow. And, you know, now all of that's pushing east. So you all on the in the Midwest, the Rocky Mountain West, and eventually the East Coast. Get ready, right? Because it all pushes from the west to the east. And this morning, as I look outside, it is snowing itty bitty teeny tiny flakes, which means it's pretty cold upstairs. And all of that is translating into snow. All the schools just now got called out for the day. It started out as 2 hours late, and now the roads are just too messy. They can't get the buses through. So, you know what we always say, humans plan, and God laughs and says, let's try something new today. So, Monday, snow day. What's not to love if you're a kid, right? If you're an adult and you already got to work safely, I hope, my husband did, then make the best of it, because I doubt that it will last all day. You never know, though, in the Northwest. All right. Good morning to everybody who is checking in. Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel, good morning to you, on her way to get her little doggies fixed up and purdy. And Tom, good morning to you. Happy birthday to Tom's significant other, Ainsley Wiggs. It is her, well, I'm going to say it is a banner birthday. I'm not going to share or divulge how old she is, but happy birthday to you, Ainsley. Welcome to the club. If I say anything more, everybody's going to know how old you are. Good morning, Pam. It's good to have you with us. Tom said, stick the groundhog back down his hole. Let's do that. That would be fun. He'll be happy. Joan Durchie, good morning and happy Monday to you, Pam Saruba. Janet, I just had someone ask me about Black Moon Lilith and Human Design Gate. That's a thing? Yes, it is. Teddy, good morning to you. Groundhogs are liars. Well, he was pissed, right? Somebody pulled him out of his nice warm hidey hole and made him come and look at whether or not it was sunny. That is just ridiculous. It's so sad. Okay, Iowa. Here we usually have snow this time of year. 78 degrees yesterday in Iowa. Oh my gosh, and 70 today. No snow for weeks. Holy cow. That's weird, right? Because I usually think of Iowa as buried in snow for the winter. Christine Buckingham, good morning to you. Tom, you're most welcome, and give Ainsley big hugs for us. And we'll start in on our day today. We have a lot to talk about. I looked at my calendar this morning and went, there's not much to talk about. But then I pulled the chart. And when I pulled the chart, I got this beautiful picture. And I'm actually going to share it on my screen in a little bit because there's so much to unpack here. And indeed, we have, we'll start this morning talking about the moon right now in, 7:42 a.m. So that's when it went into the void. So we're now in the void, meaning the moon is wandering around. But I wanted to take another look at that for everybody. And what does that actually mean, right? What does that mean for you with it in the sign of Sagittarius and wandering around? And then as we get into this afternoon, at least my time, 1:16 p.m., the moon will move into Capricorn, taking on a completely different energy from the explorer, adventurer, Sagittarian to the more stern and stoic and let's get her done, Capricorn. And then we'll talk about that a little bit. But the big thing that I wanted to talk about this morning is the Black Moon Lilith. You know, she kind of sits there in the background frequently, right? She's not one that I go to and say, oh my gosh, you know, we need to see what she's up to today. But today we do need to see what she's up to because she is holding space for a configuration in the chart that we call a bucket. And the bucket means just this, right? When you're looking, and this is upside down, I know it is. This is the bucket, right? This is the pail or the bucket part. And here's the handle. And she is holding the handle. That is the Black Moon Lilith holding the handle of the bucket. Any planet that holds the handle of any bucket is extremely important. It is something that we really need to talk about. And this is happening not only in the transit chart for today, but also this is impacting your own personal astrology chart or your own personal life, right? Because it's not just about the paper that your chart is on. It's about how you're living your life and what is coming up for you during this period of time. And it's really an interesting thing to look at. And yes, we can look at all of these things in human design. If you are on the site ever for Genetic Matrix, Genetic Matrix does include, say, the Ascendant, the Midheaven, the IC, which is the Nadir, the bottom part of the chart, as well as the Descendant. And I believe it also puts in the Black Moon Lilith and Chiron, right? So we have the ability to look at these things and through the lens of human design, which gives us, I think, sometimes a little bit better grasp on what is the energy that is being brought to us. I mean, she is transiting through the sign of Virgo, but that tells us, you know, broadly what that energy is. But if I say, oh, she's in the gate 47, woo, now we can dial her in and we can say, okay, how is this going to impact me? How is this going to impact you? So we're going to get there. But first this morning, let's start out with the moon in Sag in the void of course. So a void of course moon is a moon that is not making any more new contacts to other planets or points until she changes signs. So until 1:16 this afternoon when she moves my time. When she moves into the sign of Capricorn, she is just sort of wandering around. And there are often times when we consider that activities are kind of going to just not go anywhere anytime soon, right? Like, don't start something new because it's likely not going to go anywhere. Our activities or the things that we're doing may not unfold as we expect them to. So we have you know, this kind of crapshoot feeling going on. And as well, it's best to avoid initiating anything new during the void of course moon. Now, when the moon is void in Sagittarius, remember Sagittarius is associated with adventure and exploration, optimism, and the thirst we might have for knowledge or information. So going into finding those kinds of things. And it is a time when the moon is in Sagittarius that our emotions become expansive and we become more freedom loving and oriented toward growth and exploration, right? We are really very much more optimistic during the moon's transit through the sign of Sagittarius. So in a void of course moon, we're left with those kinds of feelings, right? The need for adventure, the exploration piece, the optimism piece. Now, when the moon is in the void, we are also looking at the possibility that the energies of exploration and optimism and knowledge are not going to express in the way that we expect. It could become directionless, unfocused, like we're skipping from one thing to another. It's a time for when our desire for adventure and exploration or, you know, doing something that we've not done before may clashing with the energy of no clear direction. Like we don't know exactly where to go. So it's best not to go anywhere really, except for where you are during this period of time. Now it's just a few hours, right? 7:42 a.m. or a.m. until 1:16 p.m. my time. So, you know, it's not a horrible long 2 days worth of void. So often, during the void, it's a good idea to do some meditating, maybe, or to finish up tasks at hand and things that you've already started, right, that are in the process of completion. It's okay to do that kind of thing, but definitely don't go out and start something huge and new because the energy won't be with you. And I guarantee you that at 1:16 p.m. West Coast time, when the moon moves into Capricorn, something will change. or something will be become so obvious to you that you won't be able to keep going. So it's a time for us to allow things to unfold in a more natural way without pressure on ourselves or pressuring the universe even to create the path that we want when we want it, kind of go with the flow during this period of time. And of course, for you as an individual, this can vary based on where Sagittarius is in the natal chart, where what planets you might have that the moon is aspecting in the chart. The moon, when I first pulled the chart this morning, was at 26 degrees, 14 minutes of Sag, which means she is darn close, bullet burn close to the galactic center. So it means to me that with the void and her, the moon is still moving, right? She's still moving, but just not making new connections. And astrologers don't consider the galactic center as something that the moon connects to that would create a break in the void, of course. They only count planets or changes of sign. I would count the galactic center and kind of say, while it's probably not optimal timing to gather your wits and start something new, the fact that the moon will connect to the galactic center says, be open, open your minds to whatever it is that the galactic center may be sending in terms of ideas or something new to do, aha moments. That's going to be another word we're going to see here shortly. The aha moments are absolutely positively available for us today, and actually for a good chunk of the week, right? That doesn't mean you take action on what the epiphany is exactly, but be ready, right? Have pen in hand, maybe not a highlighter, have a real pen in hand. Have a real pen in hand so that you can write down whatever the ideas are that you come up with or the epiphanies that the moon brings to you. It's an opportunity to embrace the spirit of consciousness, the spirit of adventure and exploration, even if the destination isn't yet written in stone, right? We can embrace everything about it without actually doing anything about it. Okay. Now, where is the moon transiting by human design during this void? Now, here's where, you know, again, we get this idea that the moon might be wandering in terms of astrology, but in human design, she's still moving forward, right? She's still moving forward. She's moving forward too in astrology, but she is connected in human design to the gate 11 at this point in time. And the gate 11 is the gate for ideas in human design. So it's a time for us to mentally explore the idea realm. What more is possible? Creative exploration, creative inspiration, right? All of these things, sharing your visionary insights with others with the invitation. And also, making sure that you're not taking action necessarily on those new ideas, but maybe sharing them as a way to say, hey, you know, what would happen if we did this, right? We can experience shifts in consciousness, even though we're not necessarily moving forward with the moon. Now, a little bit later today, before the break in the moon's void, we actually have her moving into the gate 10. And that will happen when she hits 28 degrees. So just another couple of hours, maybe she will be moving into the gate 10. Now, the gate 10 is called the gate of love of the self, or the gate of self-love. And in human design, that means it's time for us to cultivate a deeper sense of love for ourselves, compassion for ourselves, self-acceptance, nurturing, all of those things that we often will be very comfortable in giving to others, but we find difficult to give to ourselves. So this is where the moon will be. And it can create for us then, as the moon wanes from Sag and moves into Capricorn, a greater sense of inner peace and fulfillment, especially if we have been really paying attention to our inner voice. Now, let's talk about the moon in Capricorn, because that's where she goes a little bit later. And that it brings, of course, a shift in the emotional energy from the more exploratory Sag to the more duty-bound, responsibility-oriented moon in Capricorn. This is an earth sign, and it is ruled by Saturn. And its energy is associated with things like ambition and responsibility and discipline and practicality. right? Totally different from the Sagittarius moon. And it gives us an opportunity then to create emotional reserve. And that's a big deal, because when emotions are triggered by the vast number of other things that are going on that we will soon be talking about, the moon being in Capricorn would be a good help for us to hold back maybe the expressions of reactivity, right, that the emotions can bring. So the emotions are often kept in check when she is moving through Capricorn, and we have a tendency to experience emotions more seriously or more in reserve, like we're not all flamboyant and let's just, you know, cry and throw a tantrum and all of that. So people may be more cautious about expressing what they're feeling. You might have to draw that out of them more during the transit of the moon in Capricorn. There's more control, more composure within each one of us during the transit here. Now, this is also ambition and goal-oriented energy. That is what Capricorn is really good about, that ambition, that drive to succeed, to see ourselves rewarded or recognized for our contribution to the world. And of course, that means that the focus then becomes more on our career and what we do in the world, perhaps, than more than what it is that we be or who we be in the world. It's more about what we do. That's not a bad thing. It's a little bit different than the things that we often talk about, especially with human design, where we're saying, you know, the focus isn't necessarily on what you do. That's your choice. That's your sort of expression of individuality. But truly in human design, it's about who you be. Who are we as humans at the individual level? So responsibility and duty also come up during this time, and it's associated then with our being response able, being able to be responsive, right? And we may have an increased awareness of our obligations, or have maybe a more willingness to move through those obligations to end up in success, success being completion, perhaps, success being rising to the top, perhaps. And people may be more inclined to take, all of us, by the way, not just you people, but all people might be more inclined to take on leadership roles during the moon in Capricorn. So we have practicality and realism, owing to the fact this is an earth sign and it's Saturn's realm. This is pragmatic energy. This is do your due diligence kind of energy. And we also might feel, because the moon is feeling, we might feel a need for recognition and for status, right? That is, you know, one of the hallmarks of Capricorn is the ability to rise through the ranks, right? To climb the corporate ladder, if you will. To climb the corporate ladder means to be able to take on more leadership, but also to be more seen, right? To be more in control or be more in power. So those are also themes of the moon transiting in Capricorn. So our emotions are likely to be channeled into more productive and goal-oriented pursuits during that transit. And it's a time for our taking responsibility, for being very much productive and goal-oriented. So work hard, if you will, but know that it's not all about the work, right? The whole of the transit isn't just about that. It's about doing what it is that you really love. And making sure, because remember, Capricorn then is beginning in the gate of self-love, right? If Sagittarius ends in self-love, Capricorn begins in self-love. So it's not enough to just go out there and be successful and goal-oriented. I have to really orient my success around what I love, who I really am, right? Who I really want to be, and not what the world seems to want from me, or that others have told me that I am or could be. Significant difference. See, Pam, it's on genetic matrix right there. You can see it. And she says it's at her gate 43 with her conscious son. So it takes on importance, very big importance in your life. Right. And in a way, so let's turn our attention to the Black Moon Lilith so we can get an idea of what it means. And then maybe, Pam, you'll be able to apply that to the gate 43 in your own natal chart. In astrology, the black moon is a representation of the lunar aspect of the darker, more hidden, more instinctual aspects of the feminine, right? So it's called the dark moon Lilith or the black moon Lilith. And it's really not a body, is that, as in, I can't look up in the sky and see the black moon Lilith. She's actually a mathematical point that represents the apogee, the furthest that the moon gets from the earth at the that she was from the earth at the time of your birth. All right. And by transit, where she is at the apogee with the in her relationship with the moon. It is all about the moon here, right? And it's often linked with themes of power and sexuality and repressed or marginalized aspects of ourselves. So the parts of us that we don't want to look at. Like I always say, she's like the shadow, right? The part of us that perhaps is about fear, perhaps is about the part of ourselves that we don't want to recognize, we don't want to see, right? And that's an important thing to understand, because if you don't see the shadow clearly, it is consistently, maybe even constantly impacting you, stopping you from doing what you love, stopping you from moving forward, keeping you small, keeping you in your little box, right? So we have to be able to look at this. And the fact that by transit, the black moon Lilith is the planet holding the handle of the bucket brings a lot of energy to black moon Lilith right now. So the bucket pattern, let's talk about that for a second. The bucket pattern in astrology is formed when most of the planets are all in like one half of the chart. So I'm going to actually share my screen here and see if I bring that up first, go back here and share my screen with y'all, and you can see this is a window, maybe. There you go. Now y'all should be seeing the chart of the day. I drew this up at, I think it was 7:30. No, it was 6:30 my time this morning. And this is what the sky looked like at that time. And the first thing that jumps out at me is the black moon Lilith and the fact that all of the other planets are at the other end of the chart. So if we think of the ascendant here, it's at 4 Gemini at that point in time as the horizon line, right? This would be the horizon for Gemini to 4 Sag. And everything, most of the planets are above that horizon line. And only the black moon Lilith is down here holding the space of below the horizon line, the more internal focus, the more inner you, right? So this impacts each of us as individuals. Now, your pattern may look different. If you have your own chart right now and you highlighted this, it could be skewed to the side. It could be completely upside down to this one. It could be onto the other side, because this is a chart that was contrived for the moment that I was asking it, the program to bring me up a chart. So it's as if there was a birth chart that was at 9:31 a.m. in Farmington, Maine. That's obviously the place of a person I just did a reading for. I didn't change the time zone. So this is East Coast time then. And this picture is pretty graphic. Right, it's pretty graphic when you look at it. So I highlighted here in orange is the bucket pattern, right? The highlight down to here. But I also noticed that she is forming a yod, which is a difficult aspect pattern in astrology, one that requires sacrifice and adjustment and change on our parts. And the point of that yod, where we would release the energy from, is at the black moon Lilith. So she's really forming a pretty complex set of information for all of us. So I want to break this down. So, of course, the black moon Lilith right now, she is transiting through the sign of Virgo. And in Virgo, we have the energy then of the goddess, right? The purity, perfectionism, being analytical and critical. This is an energy that helps us to really get clarity about in our minds, perhaps, but can also create a situation where we are much more mindful, right, in our minds. So we're going to break this down. So first of all, the intensity of the Black Moon. She is already carrying intense energy. With Virgo, that can manifest as our trying to be meticulous, detail-oriented, analytical, critical, right, of ourselves and of others, but also perhaps using that skill in projects. There's a strong emphasis during a planet transiting Virgo on perfectionism, and specifically with the Black Moon Lilith then on self-improvement and attention to detail. The devil's in the details here. Now, the Black Moon Lilith also represents repressed feminine energy, and Virgo is a sign that's ruled by Mercury. And that's associated, of course, with thinking and organization and service-oriented behavior, how we take care of one another, how we share of ourselves with others. So when combined with the Black Moon Lilith, the energy of Virgo has a tendency then to repress the instinctual, primal aspects of femininity, and that can lead to internal conflicts within our minds, struggles with societal types of expectations regarding our roles as gender, right? Gender roles, not just the divine feminine, but also gender roles in terms of the masculine energy. And of course, that also bleeds into sexuality. So we have all of these, you know, kind of these stringent rules or taboos about those parts of our experience on the planet. Well, with the Black Moon Lilith in Virgo, the focus becomes on healing and integration of these energies, because Venus or Virgo is also linked to health, and she is all about the integration or the assimilation of new thoughts, of new ways of being into our characters, right? Into who we are. And in a particularly where these things are related to power or the idea of sexuality and personal sovereignty or personal agency is another word I could use here. Being true to you, right? Being true to yourself. So the Black Moon Lilith here holds a ton of transformational potential, right? That's her whole thing, right? Once you see that shadow, once you see that blind spot, it can no longer be blind. Right? You can't be blind to it once the light has been shined on it. And this suggests concentrated focus on transforming our shadows. So we can transform, we can grow when we deal with what Lilith's themes are in our, in the context of our own lives, right? And maybe in the context of Virgo's practicality, she is an earth sign. Her attention to detail, her ability to critically think through and analyze what is happening, right, in anything. And this whole bucket pattern may actually indicate a journey for us each to reclaim our personal power, embrace our authenticity, the true you, and integrate all the facets of you. Even the ones that you thought you didn't really want to integrate or that you hadn't even been aware that were unintegrated, okay? So additionally, the Black Moon Lilith in Virgo is very critical of self and others. There could be a lot of that going on, especially in matters of work and health and service, because that is what Virgo really rules, work, service, and health, i.e. the sixth house of an astrology chart. And there can be a strong sense of duty and responsibility, but also feeling insecure or inadequate to do what it is that you need to do, how to perform your work or your job, or how to really enhance your abilities, right? We might be struggling with perfectionism, with self-doubt. Remember, the sun is still at the gate 63 until the 6th. So that's tomorrow. So self-doubt is also possible. Guilt, the guilt that we might feel, feeling insecure, inadequate about ourselves, feeling like we're not good enough. And, you know, part of that process is also being willing to accept that we are flawed. We are all flawed. We are all perfectly flawed, perfectly, because it is just a part of who we are. It is your quirks, right? It is your uniqueness. It is your authenticity in whatever way that you find that you are flawed. But the Black Moon Lilith here also has a rebel streak. She's willing to challenge authority here. We are willing to challenge authority or social norms. Anything that we find oppressive or unfair at this point in time, the Black Moon Lilith in society here might be bringing up for our ability to integrate that shadow part of ourselves. Now, as the handle of the bucket, Lilith in Virgo becomes the focal point of this chart. I mean, just look. I mean, there it is, right? She's right in your face. And it indicates then that we have a strong need to integrate the qualities here of that Virgo Black Moon Lilith pattern. So the handle pattern shows what we are most passionate about, perhaps, or what we are most interested in. And right now it feels to us like we are perfecting ourselves, perfecting the image of who we are, our uniqueness, our unique pattern. And we might be driven by a desire to heal ourselves or help heal others, to improve ourselves, our lot in lives, perhaps, to also purify ourselves. Now, what I mean by that is detoxify, right? There's a lot of detoxification energy in Virgo, detoxifying an environment, perhaps, that you are in, detoxifying things in your body, things that you're putting into your body. So we become very health conscious in making sure that what we're putting in is good for us, right? Also rebelling against expectations that others hold for us, right? If you're acting in a certain way because you think it's the expectation that society has on you or that your parents have on you, or for whatever reasons you're acting the way you're acting, time to change that, right? The Black Moon Lilith here is not going to be very tolerant of that. Now, I also wanted to look at what gate she is in our human design. And she's at the gate 47. The 47 is called the gate of mindset. And in human design, it's up on the Ajna center, so the second center down. And she is connected at this point with Earth, right? Earth is sitting at the gate 64. 64 is the gate above the 47. So now a channel is being connected between where Earth is sitting in transit and where she's at gate 64, while the Black Moon Lilith sits at the gate 47. And the gate 47 represents the energy of realization, that breakthrough moment, right? That breakthrough aha that comes in when we least expect it, when we're not trying. Often is when the aha moment occurs because we've gotten out of a mindset, right? If your mindset is all about the negative and all about the what you can't do and who you can't be and what you can't, where you can't go, all that, then the epiphany will happen in a way that once you let go of that mindset and like you're like, I give up, right? That's it. Then boom, in comes, you've created the space for, and in comes that aha or the epiphany. So when the Black Moon Lilith is transiting the gate 47, we have this extra layer of intensity and depth to the energy of epiphany. So what epiphanies might you be experiencing today? I had an epiphany. It was actually over the weekend, though, about how much the energy of gratitude moves through the human design template. And it was in every gate that I looked at, pretty much in a circuitry that I was looking at. And I was shocked by that. Gratitude shows up repeatedly as a pattern. It created this aha moment for me in that gratitude is really a driver of manifesting what we desire in our lives, right? It's pretty interesting. And to see it plainly in a human design chart was like, ah! Anyway. The Black Moon Lilith here represents the archetype of the wild feminine. and the repressed or marginalized aspect of ourselves, as I just said a little bit ago. And the themes are all related to power dynamics through sexuality, through your own personal sovereignty, that type of thing. So when she is moving through Virgo and in gate 47, it's the ability to find the unapologetic aspect or expression of your own true nature. Not someone else's nature, but your own nature, right? Being aware of that. And there is the opportunity here for a profound shift in consciousness due to her placement at the gate 47. Right? The 47 brings that aha moment. And it's a radical, maybe self-discovery, a self-discovery moment where we confront and maybe embrace the darker, more instinctual aspects of ourselves without judgment, right? Epiphanies experienced during this period of time can be deeply transformative. In Gene Keys, when we look at the 47, it is the path from oppression to transfiguration via transmutation. What are we doing? We're letting go of what oppresses us in favor of transmuting those energies to create a transfiguration, which to me is all about a new you based in light being born. Like, you're already based in light, but you just got all this crud all over you that's kind of sticky and kind of gross and kind of hiding and dimming your light. So if we're ready to let go of those things, right? It's like getting going to the car wash, get your car windows cleaned, right? Or going to the beauty parlor and getting yourself all fixed up, right? All of the old is off and what's been oppressing you is done. And what's left is your light, right? So we might even call this the light of epiphanies, which allows more of you to really shine through. And it can be a time of inner truths, the dawning on you, for example, that gratitude is laced through the entire human design, i.e. laced through the entire human template of who you are, of who we are, right? So it is a time for us to understand our own desires, what makes us tick. It is a time to confront your motivations and your inner truths. And it's a time to embrace the full spectrum of who you are, right? Including the parts that you may have hidden from yourself, that you've suppressed or that you've denied because it wasn't proper. It wasn't a good thing, right? Somebody told you good girls don't cry or big girls don't cry, whatever that is that you've been told. It's time to let it go. All right. Now, as you can see in this picture, she's also the focal point of a yod. If it wasn't enough to see her be the handle of a bucket pattern and have all that emphasis put on her, seeing her at the nozzle end of a yod was very striking. I was like, no, is this really true? And yes, it is. Now, the yod is also known as the finger of God, and it is a finger of God in this case that has Chiron and North Node at the one corner of the base with Mars at the other corner of the base. I'd love to use Venus as part of the base, but in a yod, it can only be 1 degree, 1.5 to 2 degrees off. And Venus is at 20 degrees. She's too far off from the yod, but she actually may be, you know, impacting it just maybe from behind the scenes a little bit. Now, in the astrological chart, the implications here are huge because this is a very energetic configuration. The yod consists of two or more planets that are in sextile to one another. They form the base, and that's our Chiron North Node at one point and Mars at the other. And this is a very positive aspect. The sextile forms the positive aspect with the third planet, with each other, that forms the base of healing our wound and also then of taking steps, you know, moving forward, right? Forward momentum. And interestingly enough, the Chiron placement is conjunct the North Node at the gate 51 of shock and awakening in human design. So at least initially, this recognition of this pattern of what needs to be changed within us can come with a shock or in a shocking way or in an awakening sort of way. And then that prompts us via the sextile here to take action because this is Mars. Mars takes action. And in Aquarius, takes action for the future, right? Takes action for the future. And Mars is sitting at the gate 13. It's called narrative, or also the listener, depending on whether you're using quantum human design, it's the narrative, and in traditional human design, the listener. And interestingly enough, this action is predicated on our telling a new story, right? Elevating the story in some way, the story, not just your personal story, but the story of humanity. We want to elevate the story. That forms the basis of this yod. So with Mars representing assertiveness and action and the driving force of desire, right? That's what Mars does. And Chiron as the wounded healer, it symbolizes us going through this process of healing through self-awareness and also taking a sort of assertive or dynamic aspect approach to healing, right? And healing things like anger, healing our wounds, right? It might even represent the healing journey for all of humanity at this point in time. How do we heal, right? Now, the Black Moon Lilith as the release point, right? The point of the nozzle is called the release point. It's the finger. Where is it pointing? And in your own chart, by the way, she's pointed somewhere. In this chart, she is pointed at the fourth house, which is the house of the foundation of something, our roots, the house of mother in some cases. It is also called the house of the of your ancestry or the generational lines. Interesting, right? That's where she is in the chart of the collective at this moment. But in your own chart, she could be in a completely different place. Look for where Virgo is in your chart. And that is where you will find the transiting Black Moon Lilith. And by house will tell you what area of your chart this release point is in. And the release point becomes the focal point of tension and potential resolution of said tension, right? Of whatever that obstacle is or whatever the issue is that has created tension. And it suggests that issues related to the more darker aspects, the more instinctual aspects of survival, on power dynamics are coming to a head, right? They're intertwined with the themes of assertiveness, woundedness, and healing, represented by Mars and Chiron, but also the North Node, destiny, moving forward with our identity. And here with Virgo, we are integrating then the shadow healing energies. So the tension is between our embracing the wound, right? Embracing the repressed or marginalized aspect of yourself, and of the feminine energy even, and navigating the healing process associated with moving through that, with the wounds that are related to assertiveness, aggression, or self-identity, right? It was so funny. I was watching this show last night. I don't even know what it was I was watching now. What was it? There were two cops. And she was a very Lilith character in that she had been having an affair with another cop, a subordinate cop. So she was a detective and he was a street cop, presumably. And she broke it off with him, right? She broke it off with him. And he got mad. He played the Black Moon Lilith also because he went and tattled on her because he was mad that she broke it off with him. And then she ends up in trouble. And then there's this scene where there are all of these men and this one woman sitting around a circle at a group therapy session on sexual harassment. And she's the only woman, right, being accused of sexual harassment or having been in a sexual relationship with someone beneath her rank that could be seen as her being able to manipulate him or something like that. And it was so amazing to me how if she had been a man that was having an affair with a woman of lesser rank, it might not have turned out to be. She was the only one having been accused of a sexual relationship. All these other guys had done worse, way worse, in terms of how they had been harassing the women that they work with. It's just so funny, right? To see that happening while this yod is forming And I'm watching it right there on TV, which, you know, is something that we all notice and witness in the world, right? Not everybody, not every one of you perhaps, but we see it all the time, right? So there's a call for integrating and balancing between the seemingly conflicting energies of the more masculine, assertive aggression and the more feminine, darker energies of standing up maybe for yourself, right? Of really laying claim to who you really and truly are. And it may be that we have to confront deep-seated fears, right? Those fears that we're holding deep within us, traumas around these certain things that have happened in your life, societal conditioning, because we're all conditioned by the society that we grew up in as to what's possible for us, what's not possible for us, who we should be, who we shouldn't be, right? Those are all societal conditioning. And this would suggest it's time to dump out all of those conditioned responses that you have to repressing those more marginalized aspects of our psyches or of ourselves. Now, the transformational potential here is huge. This is a significant turning point when we see the handle of a yod or the nozzle of a yod, the handle of a bucket. This is a period of intense growth and evolution. And this is a collective evolution because it's not just happening in my chart or in your chart. It's happening in all of our charts at this point in time. And with the Black Moon Lilith at the release point, there's the potential for this profound transformation and empowerment through embracing our shadows, the shadow part of ourselves, reclaiming our personal power, embracing authenticity and your personal expression of femininity and assertiveness. So feminine and masculine, embracing the balance of the two. Now, in your own personal chart, based on the houses that these are happening in, it will, you know, perhaps change a bit the way that this would play out for you. Be open is probably the best thing I can say here. Stay open, stay ready to have experiences and to really evaluate the meaning of all of this in your life. How does it impact your mindset, so to speak, because that is the gate that this is pointed at. And in doing so, you might be able to discover how transformation would be best made in your own personal life. All right. So time for questions. Christine says her Black Moon Lilith is in Aries. Asteroid Lilith is in Pisces, and I have no clue what my Dark Moon Lilith is. What are the differences in the three moons, the three Liliths? Well, one of the Liliths is the one, the Black Moon Lilith that we are talking about today is the moon's apogee, right? In our lives, in our charts personally, but also right now as a factor in the collective chart. There is another Lilith that is the asteroid Lilith. Right. So she's different. She's an actual body and is placed in our chart somewhere. And the other Lilith, I don't know at this point in time. I'd have to look it up, the three, and see. That might be a subject for another day, the three Liliths, and seeing how they impact us. And yet don't get confused by this, because the Black Moon Lilith is likely the most important one in the chart at this moment, right, for us to think about, or at least for this week. Right. So we also have some other transits taking place this week. We are today with the planet Mercury in a sextile to Uranus. And that is that's the two parts of our minds, the higher mind and the lower mind, meaning our thinking mind and our higher thinking mind coming together in a positive relationship. So that might help us be more focused. It might help us be in receipt of those aha epiphany moments. It might contribute to that for us, because that is a positive relationship between the two planets there. And then Friday, if we look ahead to the end of the week, Mercury comes into a conjunction with Neptune. Now Mercury is picking up intuition, instinctual awareness, and bringing perhaps new messages to us, ferrying them, as it were, from our higher consciousness via Neptune and into our real life. And then over the weekend, of course, we have Mercury moving into Aries. We have a day Saturday where, let's see, Mars is squaring Uranus and the Sun is sextile Uranus. Feels like kind of a Uranus sort of week, right? That kind of validates and verifies that aspect of epiphany, of aha, of shocking information perhaps coming from or through to the collective. And then, of course, on Sunday, the new moon in Pisces. It says 1:01 a.m. Oh, yeah, I was going to look that up because we also changed the time that day. So I'm not sure, is the new moon at 1:01 Pacific time or is it going to be 2:01? Not sure. I will make sure I look that up before Friday. All right. I don't see any questions here. So I'm hoping everybody got an understanding of the Black Moon Lilith holding the handle of the bucket, but also being at the point of the yod. And we could talk about yods on and on and on because they are very important aspects, even though they're underplayed, I think, by astrologers at times. But they're important points of transformation and transmutation and perhaps transfiguration even in a chart. So they're important. Treat yourself, Julie. Going with the flow, not forcing a river. I'm in a chill, mindful, present, and aware mode. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. So I got to tell you guys something hysterically funny. Tom, you already know this because you and I had a good belly laugh over this on Friday. But remember the Friday I was having such problems with my printer? The piece that I was trying to get back in that wouldn't go back in. And I was getting mad and frustrated and, you know, wanted to throw my computer out the window. I had the piece upside down. I was trying to put it in the wrong way. And I had videoed my daughter and I'm like, tell me what the bleep is going on here. How do I fix this? She's like, well, can you do this or can you do that or that, I'm like, no, nothing works. I said, it's ridiculous to think that this piece that has tabs that hang out over the width of the space it needs to go in is where this needs to go. She's like, I don't know, Mom. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just going to put it away till your dad gets home. Hang up from her. And I'm sitting here looking at it and I went, wait a minute. If I turn this around, the piece would fit. And voila, voila, it fit. It fit. And then remember during the broadcast, I couldn't find the Dreamweavers cards that I wanted. I found them. They were in the basket in the same place I was looking, but I was blinded by the light apparently, and I couldn't see them. So very weird day on Friday. I'm so glad that day is behind me. And I had a good laugh when I realized that that the printer malfunction was all my own malfunction. Laugh out loud. Okay, let's pull a card for the collective. Oop, this one. The one on the cover. If a cat curls round the moon, card number 36, right? See, it's the cover. There's the cover of the Dreamweaver's Oracle by Colette Baron-Reed, illustrated by Joel Nakamura. So if a cat curls round the moon or curls up on your bed behind you, which you guys can't really see her, but there she is, curled up, waiting for me to finish so she can bug the heck out of me. Let's see. This is card 36, which is a 9. And 36 says, letting go of codependent relationships and the value of interdependence. Now, to me, that would definitely be Chiron conjunct the North Node up in Aries, right? That's forming the basis of our yod that we were just talking about. If a cat curls round the moon, it's a sign to release yourself from your enmeshments and claim the freedom and independence, Black Moon Lilith, to be your own person with healthy boundaries. If you've gone along just to get along or engaged in people-pleasing, you might be concerned about the consequences of saying no. What would happen if you set a boundary and chose what you really wanted? Don't give your power away to someone else's reactions. It's more important to choose what feels right and true for you. Celebrate your uniqueness too. Choosing to do things your way doesn't mean you're doing anything to promote endings or drama. It's a healthy separation to have your own views, your own perspectives and still be engaged. Codependent relationships are always unhealthy and unsupportive in the long run. Speak up, share your mind, and be okay with learning from others who have different ideas. You don't have to agree with them if it's not right for you. As people, we need each other. We weren't built to live on our own, and now you're being wholly supported as a unique being, being able to be loved and love and be yourself, allowing healthy interdependence to replace the sticky quality of draining relationships. No matter what your inquiry, when a cat curls around the moon, it's a sign to step back and assess what you really want, how you really feel, and how you want to feel. Only then can you step forward. You can't go wrong. That's a great card. That is a great card in light of everything we were just talking about. Right? Oh, over here. There we go. You can see it better now. If a cat curls round the moon. All right. Let's see. I'm going to go back here for final comments. Wishing all a great week. Thank you, Square Peg Round Hole Syndrome. Asa, good morning to you. It was great being with all of you this morning. We're done early. I don't know how that happened, especially because I thought I had way too much to talk about. If you do have any questions about anything, you know where to find me. Janet@living-astrology.com is my email, or you can reach out on Messenger or any other means that you reach out to people. All right, that's it for me. Take care, everybody. See you on Friday. Bye for now.
Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Jean Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.